We're in a series called Sabotage Part 2, and we're going to look at Mark chapter 7 today and look at another area of our life that the enemy might use to sabotage our faith, to sabotage our walk with God, and I believe God's going to speak to us very clearly today. Let's dig in here. Mark chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 24. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app or on the screen, and all those links are available if you're at home with us as well this morning, so let's dig in. It says, then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, first, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. In verse 28, she replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Good answer, he said. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. Now this is, I like to call these phrases, these kind of moments in Jesus' life that we see in the Testament, I like to call this wild Jesus. I mean, this Jesus is a wild, wild boy. What is he talking about? He's a wild man. This is maybe some of the most offensive language and offensive speeches that Jesus gives. In fact, if you read the whole Mark chapter 7 and the parallel chapter in Matthew 13 that tells the same story, and it's almost the exact same identical stories and teachings, Jesus spends this entire moment, this entire section of his life in Mark chapter 7, he is just offending everybody. He's given all the cares that he has to give, and he's just laying it out real plain. He doesn't care. In fact, in the Matthew version of this, in the few verses before this, this Gentile woman shows up. Jesus has just ticked off all of the Jews, all of the Pharisees. He's just told them, and basically he's called them, he said, you're nothing but whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. And in fact, the Bible in Matthew, it doesn't show us in Mark, but in Matthew, the disciples come to Jesus and they're like, hey, don't you know that talking like that is going to offend the Pharisees? And Jesus is like, I don't care. They can get offended, all right? And then this Gentile woman shows up. Now, let me just, so you understand the scene of what's happening, what's being said here, all right? Anybody have dogs in your house? How many got dogs in your house? You let them live in the house? They're your little babies. You let them jump up on you and lick your face and all that stuff? Okay, fine. No, okay. Well, anyway. We got two dogs. We got Sasha in Memphis. We got a white beagle. She's a great dog. They're both good dogs. Sasha's very well-trained, mostly. Memphis is a good dog, but he's a basset hound, and he is ornery and stubborn. In fact, if you ever see a white and brown basset hound running around the football fields, that's probably ours, this dog. You know, dogs are supposed to, they say when you train a dog with a shock collar, they're supposed to, like, never break that. This dog has figured, he'll figure out when his batteries have died in the collar, and he'll know, and then he'll take it, and he always comes back. He doesn't really, he just kind of takes a little jaunt around the neighborhood, checks everything out, and we usually either get a message, hey, we saw Memphis around. Anyway, I got the suit, I got Memphis and Sasha, and here's the deal. They've learned that when I get the smoker going and they smell that all day, they know, they figured out that there's probably going to be some scraps and some bones left over at the end of that, whatever, how long that cook is. So like the other day I made some ribs, and let me tell you something, Big Swole has figured out ribs. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I made these ribs. They were some of the best. I mean, they're there. Now, here's the thing. My wife doesn't really care for ribs. The only other person in my family that likes ribs is my son Micah, really, and me, and I love them. And so, like the other day, I made some ribs, and Micah took a bite, and he did one of these. He was like, just like that. You know what I mean? No, then he always tries to, like, downplay, like he's not appreciating it, but the face doesn't lie when you bite into that juicy, sweet barbecue spare rib, okay? So anyway, I made ribs the other day, and here's the thing, as I'm eating ribs, the whole time I'm eating at the kitchen table, all I see at my feet at the bottom are Sasha and Memphis' face just like this, looking up. Now, Sasha is more reserved. She'll just kind of chill and wait and lay back in the cut. But Memphis, the basset hound, he gets wild. He's growling and groaning. He's, and then he's spinning in circles, and he's going, and then, am I lying? This is what he does, right? He's popping up on the table. I'm like, get down. And I'm like, wait, you know, and I'm messing with him. So this is what I see, these two dogs at the table waiting for something to fall, waiting for a bone to be thrown their way, waiting for a scrap to be thrown their way. And Jesus, loving master, full of love, full of truth, full of grace, the Son of God looks at this woman who comes to ask for prayer for her demon-oppressed daughter, and while Jesus says, basically, I can't help you. You are basically just like one of these dogs begging under the table. How many understand that's not the picture of Jesus you have in your mind when you start talking about Jesus very often? Right? We skip over some of these wild parts that make our head scratch and that don't line up with the meek, mild-mannered Jesus stroking everyone's hair and telling them it's going to be okay and giving them hugs and kissing babies. This is wild Jesus. This is offensive Jesus. This is doesn't give a care Jesus. Now you have to, let me just reiterate here, you got to understand this. And this is the amazing part of this, actually this whole story, what we're gonna focus our attention on today is this. This woman, instead of getting upset, instead of getting all offended, instead of getting in a huff and being like, we know for sure from this text, this is not a white woman. This is a Gentile. This is somebody from another culture. Here's why. If this is a white woman, the next words out of her mouth would have been, can I speak to your manager, please? So we know. So here's what she says. Instead of getting all offended and going on Facebook and talking about how hurt her feelings were, she says, yeah, that's fine. I'm a dog. But even the dogs get to eat the scraps under the table. And Jesus says, good answer. Your faith has healed your daughter. Go home. Instead of getting offended, she got full of faith and got a miracle. Amen. And this is what you need to understand from this text. Offense will sabotage the miracle and the plan of God that he has for your life if you don't keep it in check. Today in part two of sabotage, we're going to be talking about the sabotage of offense, okay? And this is wild, okay? Because offense can sabotage my miracle. In fact, we see this contrasted here. Jesus just offended the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the spiritual elite, the super Christians, and they were Christians, they were Jews, but they were the super religious, the super spiritual. They were supposed to have all of the Bible and all of the law of God. They were supposed to have all of it figured out. They knew all the words. They knew all the prophecies. They knew all the songs. They followed all the rules. They crossed every I. They dotted every T. I mean, they were the spiritual elite. And yet when Jesus shows up and begins to challenge them with his truth, when Jesus shows up and begins to confront their hypocrisy, they, instead of receiving it and letting faith take over, they actually let offense take over. And in contrast, this woman, now she's a Gentile, she's a non-Jew. And I want to reiterate this. Jesus, and it's probably a hard lesson, maybe it's unfair to use this poor woman with this need as an illustration, but I don't believe for a second that Jesus was saying, I see you as a dog. What he is doing is he's parroting what he knows everyone around her is thinking as the because she's coming through this crowd of Jews and Pharisees and the spiritual elite, and this Gentile woman who's considered unclean by them, who has no business even being in the same room and fellowship with them, shows up and asks Jesus for a need. So he's parroting and reiterating what he knows the crowd is thinking and seeing around her, as if to say, I know you see her this way, but I'm going to show you how God actually sees her this way. Just watch what's going to happen here. And it's amazing that what happens is this. Watch this. Those who are supposed to be the spiritual elite and had it all figured out, those who showed up to church every Sunday, those who followed all the rules and were the most religious, they were the most easily offended, and they were the first ones to miss who Jesus was. And this woman who was viewed as a dog by the spiritual elite had a faith that was unoffendable instead and got a miracle from Jesus. The Pharisees were the right people with the wrong faith. She was the wrong person, but she had the right faith. And I gotta let you know, the right faith will win every single time. And I want you to notice this as well. The Bible says there in the story that Jesus was actually trying to hide out. He didn't tell anybody where he was, but it says that he couldn't keep it a secret. And the first person to knock on the door was not a Pharisee, was not someone who had it all figured out, was not someone who was, it was this Gentile, this dog, this unclean woman who had a desperate need and a desperate faith. But I want you to know something, listen to me close. A desperate need with a desperate faith will always find Jesus. Amen, amen somebody. If you have a need that's big enough and a faith that's strong enough, you will always be able to find Jesus. Jesus will never be able to keep away from you. A desperate need with a desperate faith will always find Jesus. And a desperate need with a desperate faith will be unoffendable. Now listen to me. Church family, we have got to be aware in these times that we live, and we have got to be on guard against a spirit of offense. Listen, I believe, and I think it's not too hard to notice and see this and prove this, offense is the spirit of the age. Amen? Right now, there are more things working to divide and get you mad and get you. I mean, we have people that are offended over everything and over anything. Amen, somebody? We got people right now that are offended that one guy is not in office and another guy is in the other half of the country. They're offended that this guy's in and that guy's not. We're offended over vaccines and not vaccines. We're offended over masks and not masks. We're offended over right wing and left wing. We're offended over police. And for the police and not for the police. We're just offended. We're just looking. We're offended. Are you for Target this week, or are we offended by Target this week? Are we drinking Starbucks today, or are we boycotting Starbucks today? Are we watching Disney today, or are we not watching Disney? I mean, I can't keep up with who I'm supposed to be mad at and offended by. Listen, offense is the spirit of the age. Everybody's walking around offended, and we're offended because we're looking at our screens and we're not realizing, we're thinking somewhere in here that Jesus gave us all these wonderful things and God gave us this technology that's supposed to keep us connected, and what we're doing is we're allowing the enemy to take this and use it as his tool to keep us mad and keep us offended. And here's the thing, most of the time we're offended over stuff that doesn't matter to my daily life at all. What do I care what the CEO of Starbucks thinks about me as a believer? I still need coffee. Think what you want. Come on, somebody. What he has to say about me doesn't affect my life at all. You know what the thing is, I don't believe we as humans, our brains, our ability and our capacity emotionally and mentally has not evolved to receive the level of information that we are able to receive. You know what I'm saying? Like on one side, I get that it is nice to be able to know what's going on in the world, or halfway around the world. But on the other side, we were never supposed to be aware, and I don't think we have evolved to a place, and we are not created with the capacity to take on and receive all the information of all of the ills and all of the woes and all the things happening in all the places of the world. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be compassionate and care about those things. What I'm saying is that I cannot simply, because I'm able to receive all that information into my spirit and allow it to tick me off and walk around mad and offended over every other thing every other day. And it is a spirit that I believe the enemy has loosed in this age against this generation and against the church of this generation and against the world in this generation. Why? Because if he can keep people offended, listen, if he can keep us offended and mad, he will keep us sabotaged from the plan of God for our lives. Amen? Let me say it this way. Listen to me close. You can hold on to offense, or you can hold on to faith. You can't hold on to both. Say it again. You can hold on to being offended, or you can hold on to your faith, but you cannot hold on to both. You will have to choose. And I got to ask myself this question. While we're so busy, being ticked off and being offended over this thing and that thing, what miracles are we missing out on? While I'm spending my energy arguing with some idiot across the world on a social media platform that really has no business, it just doesn't matter at all, but I'm ticked off and I'm offended because Tweeter 167 made a comment on my post that I don't like, some guy I don't even know, and it's got my whole day all messed up, and I spend the rest of my day arguing and thumbing out responses, and I'm offended and I'm mad, and I'm like, what am I missing? What miracle did I miss? Well, I was holding on to the offense. Amen? And while we've got a generation of parents and grown-ups and adults and people who are supposed to be spiritually mature walking around mad and offended at this thing and that thing, in the meantime, we got a generation of kids that need a miracle and that need a breakthrough, but they're not able to get it because we can't let go of our petty offense long enough to grab hold of the feet of Jesus and say, I need a miracle. And I'm here to declare, in the name of Jesus, I am not going to miss another moment with God. I am not going to miss another miracle. My kids are going to have every breakthrough that God has for them, and I am not going to miss it because I'm too busy being offended. In Jesus' name, I'm here to declare, in the name of Jesus, at Red Life Church in Brookville, Indiana, I can't speak for any other place, but we are saying today, enough is enough. Not one more moment, not one more time, not one more second. I am not going to waste another moment of my faith on offense in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Enough is enough. That stops now, because I can hold on to offense or I can hold on to faith. I can hold on to offense or I can hold on to a miracle, but I can't hold on to both. So what are we going to do? Well, I've got to develop an unoffendable faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, get an unoffendable faith. Get an unoffendable faith. I've got to have an unoffendable faith. There's a couple things I think we can key in on from this text that's going to help us. The first thing is this. One reason why this woman was so unoffendable, got called a dog by Jesus. It's wild. I just know the word out. It's wild. And doesn't get offended. Why was she not offended? You know why? Because the need of her daughter to be set free was bigger than her own little feelings. And it's not that her feelings aren't important, and it's not that your feelings aren't important, but I tell you what, I got a cause that I'm fighting for in the kingdom of God that's bigger than my feelings, bigger than my hurt feelings, bigger than my broken heart, bigger than all of those things. Listen to me. If I want an unoffendable faith, listen to me close now. If I want an unoffendable faith, the cause that I'm fighting for has to be bigger than the cause of my offense. The cause that I'm fighting for. She is fighting for the spiritual breakthrough of her daughter, her child, who is possessed or oppressed by a demonic spirit in her home. That is the cause she is fighting for. And that cause is bigger than any cause for offense. You can call me a dog. You can call me no good. You can call me a Gentile. You can call me the scum of the earth. You can call me whatever you want to call me. That's fine. But I've got a daughter who needs a breakthrough, and that cause is bigger than this cause. The cause I'm fighting for is bigger than the cause of my offense. Listen to me. We have got a great cause in the kingdom of God. We have got people outside of these walls and outside of this broadcast right now that do not know Jesus. You have children, sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, nieces and nephews, neighbors and friends and family who do not know Jesus and are far away from God. Listen, that cause has to be bigger than the cause that I'm offended by from them. That cause is bigger than what they might say about me. That cause is bigger than whether or not they agree with how I voted. That cause is bigger than whether or not they got vaccinated. That cause is bigger than whether or not they're wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. That cause is bigger. The cause we're fighting for in the kingdom is bigger than the cause of any offense. And the first thing I've got to do if I'm going to have an unoffendable faith is decide that the cause of the kingdom is bigger than the cause of any offense in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? The second thing that has to happen if I'm going to have an unoffendable faith, this is such a wild story. And I don't know why we don't talk about these wild. We like talking about easy Jesus, not crazy Jesus. But I relate more to crazy Jesus in my life most of the time. She says, "Okay, I'm a dog. That's fine. But even a dog gets a scrap from under the table once in a while. Even a dog can get thrown a bone." What she's saying is, "Hey, I don't got to have the whole meal. I don't even have to have, God, I love this. I don't even have to have a seat at the table. I don't have to have you prepare me a feast. I don't have to have you make a big deal for me. I don't have to have you make a big production out of this. I don't have to have you call my name up and call me in front of everybody and lay hands on me and go through a whole religious rigmarole. You don't have to send me a letter. You don't have to send me an invitation. You don't have to make a plate. You don't have to do any of that." She says, "Oh, I'm not asking for any of that. I'm not even asking for the whole meal. I just need a scrap. Just a scrap from the king's table will be enough to take care of any need that I have. I need to realize that a crumb from the king's table is more than enough for anything I'll ever need. If I want an unoffendable faith, then I'm going to need to realize that I don't have to have the production. I don't have to have my name known. I don't have to have any of those things. You don't even have to be nice to me. That's fine. I just need a crumb from the king's table. And if I can just get a crumb, that crumb will be enough for anything I need." Listen, we're not talking about a crumb of ribs from Justin Bradley's table. I'm talking about a crumb from the King of Kings table, who spoke light into existence, who created the entire world and system that we now live in, who sent his only son Jesus to die on the cross, and then 3 days later he rose again. I'm talking about a crumb from that table, and a crumb from that table is more than enough to heal your body, fix your soul, provide for your finances, restore your family, set the oppressed free, and whatever else you want to throw in there. All I need is a crumb from the king's table. And since all I need is a crumb, I don't have to be offended that I didn't get an invite to the meal. If all I need is a crumb, I don't have to be offended that you didn't provide for me a plate. Come on, somebody. If all I need is a crumb, I don't have to be offended that I didn't get an invitation to the party. Because a crumb will do. I'm talking about having an unoffendable faith. Because I can hold on to offense, or I can hold on to a miracle, but I can't hold on to both. Jesus is about to set some of you free this morning from offense that you've been holding on to. Some of you at home right now, you've been holding on to offense. You've been holding on to hurt. You've been holding on to this and that. Some of it may be very, very real. Some of it is very more real than the silly stuff that I talked about on these phones and stuff. And I'm not saying that it wasn't hurtful and it wasn't a big deal. I'm saying you can't hold on to it if you want a miracle. I think the third thing that's got to happen if I'm going to have an unoffendable faith. Later on here, when Jesus, in another text, Jesus is sending out the disciples, And in Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to read this. Actually, can you put this on the screen for me? Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. We'll get there. There we go. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. He's sending them out to do ministry and to expand the kingdom, this is what he says. He says, if any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, write down their name, write them a letter, remember who they are, never, ever, 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 ever love them again. Is that what it says? No. If anyone refuses you and refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, post about it on Facebook, complain to the manager, tell everybody how awful they are. Is that what it says? If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, he said, you're going to shake its dust from your feet as you leave. What Jesus was saying is this: if you're going to succeed and you're going to expand the kingdom, there's going to be lots of people that refuse you. Going to be lots of people that say no. You're going to hear a lot more no's than you hear yeses. You're going to have a lot of doors slammed in your face. You're going to have a lot of reason and a lot of cause to be offended and to have your feelings hurt. But if you're going to continue, you're going to have to learn to shake the dust off of your feet as you leave. And the third thing I've got to do, and we could continue to talk, I'm sure there's many more things. These are just the top three I'm giving you this morning. But one of the things I'm going to have to do if I'm going to have an unoffendable faith, the cause has to be bigger than my offense. I got to know that I don't need an invitation, I just need a crumb. But then I'm going to have to at some point shake the dust off myself. And then I've got to leave. I got to move on. I got to step away from the place. See, here's what happens, I think. A lot of times, I think what happens is we get offended, we get hurt, and we shake it off. We shake the dust off. We forgive them. We pray. We say, God, I forgive them. God, I'm going to let that go. But we don't leave. Now, if I take a blanket and it's dusty, a towel or whatever, and I shake it out, and then I lay that blanket right down underneath where I just shook it out, what's going to happen? A lot of dust is going to end up resettling right where I just was, right? That's why Jesus was real key. He said, don't just shake the dust off and stay there. Because if you do that, eventually the dust is probably going to resettle through the air. And you might feel freedom for a minute. And you might feel good for a minute. And you might feel some relief for a moment. But if you stay there, that dust is going to resettle on your life again. How many know what I'm talking about? You get offended over something. You get hurt over something. Somebody does something they shouldn't have done. They were wrong. I'm not saying you're not wrong to be offended. They were a jerk. They were wrong. They were messed up. They were shady. They were evil. They were bad. They refused. They whatever. They did you wrong. They were dirty. None of that. It's not that none of that matters, but none of that changes what Jesus told me to do. Shake the dust as you leave. So what happens if I don't leave? I pray and I'm like, Lord, forgive them, shake the dust, get that off me. But then I still stay in that place. And maybe I'm okay for a minute. And then all of a sudden, if I don't leave that place, if I don't leave that situation, if I don't leave that where I'm at mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if I stay there, that dust is going to resettle again. And then you see him at the grocery store. And they wave. And you're, maybe you don't wave. Maybe you wave, but then you're like, oh, that's so. And what do you got? You end up shaking the dust again. I'm just going to tell you this. It was a few weeks ago in prayer. I was in the chairs, and I was right over there where you are, Devon and Sam. And the Lord spoke to me real clear. It actually spoke to me two things. I'm going to share both those things. The second part I'm going to share later on. But one of the things he shared with me very clearly for us was he said, it's time to shake the dust off. The Lord said, it's time for my people to shake the dust off of their lives. You've let too much stuff settle. You've let too much hurt stay there. You've let too much offense stay there. You've let too much whatever stay there from the last season, from the last thing. It didn't work. You got whatever. The Lord said, it's time for you to shake the dust off of your life and move on. And move on. Because the miracle and the plan and the purpose that God has for my life is too big and too important for me to hold on to that offense and to let that dust to continue to resettle. I can hold on to offense or I can hold on to a miracle. I cannot hold on to both. Stay with me all over this place this morning. Stand up. Today, right now, we are going to shake the dust off of our lives and we are going to move forward in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? I said, today, God is calling maybe all of us, maybe not, I'm not sure, but I know that God is calling some of us in this place right now, today, right now, today. And it's not tomorrow. And listen, this is not something we're going to wait and do. We're not waiting and doing this on our own privately tomorrow morning when nobody is around. No. Today, right now, in this moment, God is saying it's time to shake the dust off of your life. You got hurts that have gathered there and settled there. It's time to shake it loose. You got some offense that you've been carrying on, harboring, holding on to. It's time to shake the dust. You got some stuff that you've been holding on to and it's stopping you from holding on to your faith and holding on to Jesus. It's time to shake the dust, move on, and let it go in Jesus' name. We're going to shake the dust in Jesus' name. If that's you right now in this place, if you got some stuff that you know God wants to shake off of your life, I want you right where you are just to raise your hand right now. Come on. Raise your hand all over this room right now. You got some stuff on your life that you know God is speaking to shake off in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your hands up. In fact, I want you right now to lift both hands right now. Lift both hands right now. Now listen, if your hands aren't lifted, this isn't for you. I want you to participate with this anyway in faith for the person next to you that this is specifically for. If you're at home right now, I want you to participate. If you're watching online right now, right where you are, you might need to move a kitchen table. You might need to move a coffee table out the way. Stand up right now. Lift up your hands in Jesus' name. And here's what I know this is going to sound weird. I know it's going to sound a little strange, but sometimes we got to do some things prophetically listen, there's nothing magical about what we're going to do physically, but it's representing what we are believing God is doing spiritually. And I know in the name of Jesus that God is shaking the dust off of our lives in Jesus' name, shaking offense, shaking hurt, shaking bitterness off of your life in Jesus' name. So with your hands lifted up, what I want you to do, I want you to just begin to shake them right now. Come on, just begin to shake them right now. I know it feels a little strange, just begin to shake them right now. And as you shake your hands free, heck, you might need to shake your legs a little bit too. It's all right, just don't kick anybody real hard. Yeah, listen, I want you to picture that offense. I want you to picture those words. I want you to picture that thing that's been, well, I see it in Jesus' name. I see things breaking off of people right now in the name of Jesus. I see words that have been spoken over people years ago breaking off of you right now. I see things that some of you have been carrying for years on your shoulders. God is shaking those off of you right now in the name of Jesus. We are shaking loose from every offense. We are shaking the dust off of everything in Jesus' name. And now if you've shaken, here's what I want you to do. This is significant and this is just representative, all right? I want you, as you shake, if you got room to move forward, I want you to take a step in a direction that you are not currently standing, because we are not just shaking loose today. We are shaking and we are moving on. Come on, I need you to move. Move to the side, move the chairs, move whatever. You might need to come down front and move all the way. I don't care what you need to do, but we are not gonna let this thing. I hear the Spirit of God saying, we are not gonna let this thing resettle on our lives. This is shaking once and for all in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, lift up your hands. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on, somebody, get free from offense right now. Right now up your voice in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Feeling a little wild Jesus in my spirit right now. Here's what we're gonna do. I really feel like if you raise your hand, you might want to really consider coming down front. And if you didn't raise your hand and you know that's for you, you might want to come down front. But here's what I want us to do. Now that we've shaken, now that we've moved, I'm gonna pray what I think might be one more prayer for this moment. But then I want us to worship. We're not going to leave. We're not going to rush out of here. I want you to worship. I want you to... Some of you right now, when we begin to worship after I pray in just a second, some of you are going to worship in freedom that you have never felt in your walk with God because you've been holding on to that offense. But Jesus is breaking it off of you right now. Some of you right now are about to worship God free from the trappings of that offense and that hurt and that bitterness, free from the dust that keeps settling and resettling on your life. And some of you are about to worship with a freedom that you have never experienced before, that you haven't experienced in a very, very, very long time, because right now the Word of God is setting you free from that offense in Jesus' name. Come on, family, are you determined? Are you determined that we're not going to let offense rob us of the miracle God has for us? Come on, let me hear you right now. If you're determined, come on, if you're determined that not for one second, that our sons and daughters are not going to miss an encounter with God because we were busy being offended in Jesus' name. Come on, if you come into agreement with that, agree with me right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we declare right now and we decide right now. We draw a line in the sand right now that offense is not going to hold us and sabotage us, not for one more moment. God, we prophetically shake the dust off of our lives and we move forward into the new thing that God has for us in Jesus' name, because our cause is bigger than our offense in the name of Jesus. Now let's worship free. Let's worship in freedom. Let's worship free of that offense right now in Jesus' name.
I am free, oh I am free. Hell lost another one.